Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Well, it's good to be together here on this Father's Day Sunday. And sometimes on Mother's Day, we do like special Mother's Day sermons. And on Christmas, we do special, Jesus Christmas sermons, Easter, Jesus resurrection sermons. But Father's Day, we're just going to stick with, we're going to stick with the, all the dads, they like being in the background anyway, for the most part. We're going to stick with our series in Philippians. As we're going through the book of Philippians, it's a little different. Sometimes we do like a topical, we preach topically, and so we'll go throughout the scripture, and we'll find like we just finished that series on the fruit of the Spirit, and we'll go and just look through the scriptures and say, what does the scripture have to say about love, or about kindness, or about a certain topic? But when we go through a book of the Bible like this, what we would call preaching, the big term is exegetically. All that means is we just go through the text, and we're just going to unpack that text. And so as we go through Philippians, we're just unpacking the text itself, which we feel like is important sometimes because we as a church, it's important as Christians that we value the Word of God and that we learn to really follow the Word of God and learn to unpack the Word of God in our lives because it's the most important communication that God's given to us. And as we get used to reading the Scripture and trusting what the Scripture says, then more and more, what the Scripture does is it helps us to recognize God in our lives. And the point of Christianity is the relationship with our Father, the relationship with God. But what the Scriptures do, the Bible says that the Scriptures, they're like a teacher, or we often say the Scriptures are like a photograph of God. And how we recognize God, because we've never seen him with our physical eyes. Very few people. The Bible says, if you see him, you'll die. So wait till we get to heaven. But what we do is we see him in the spirit. But that's very, in some ways, subjective. And so until we learn to recognize God in our lives, God's given us the scripture. And so we need to learn to trust the scripture because that scripture is like a picture of God so that we recognize him. I often tell the story of how when I was growing up, we would always take on people into our homes, guests and people coming through. And you live in a place like Hawaii, you have a lot of guests coming to visit. And so we would put people up at our house and people say, can you pick up my friend? They're coming to the airport. They're going to stay a few days. Can they stay with you? And say, sure. And then they give us a picture of them so that we'd recognize them at the airport. Oh, there they are. And God gives us a picture of himself in the scripture so that we recognize him in our lives. And so we're going to go through the book of Philippians, just kind of unpacking it. And we call this series Uncommon Joy. The book of Philippians is known as the book of joy and how to have God's joy in our lives, how to experience joy, how to walk with joy in our lives. And joy has become kind of a little bit of a topic that I've heard a lot in recent years. Living in New York, and then here everybody lives in little apartments, and we always have too much stuff, especially if you're American. They say that Americans have the biggest homes in the world, but they also have the biggest storage spaces because they can't fit everything into their homes. So they all go and rent storage spaces for the stuff that they buy that they can't fit in their home that they're going to put there so that their kids can go and sort through it after they pass and say all the stuff that mom and dad had that we never saw. We just get stuff and stuff and stuff. And so there was a phenomenon a few years ago by this Japanese woman. Oh, everybody already knows who that is. Who is that? Marie Kondo. We're going to Marie Kondo. I started hearing these people say, have you done Marie Kondo yet? I'm going to do Marie Kondo to my drawers and to Marie Kondo to our apartment. And she had this way of sorting through stuff and getting rid of stuff that was the Marie Kondo way. And so I think I have a slide here of her favorite saying. Everybody know her favorite saying?
Yeah.
Does it spark joy? And so here we get joy just from what we throw away or what we keep. Discard everything that does not spark joy. And I like the does it spark joy part, but I started thinking about does discard everything that does not spark joy. And I thought, you know, there's some days that there's a lot of things that don't spark joy in my life. I get tired of an old shirt, you know, old plate, an old computer. I don't like that anymore. I had a guy at work I just didn't get along with. He gets discarded. You know, my husband, my wife, you know, discard. You know, there's something wrong with that principle there. Just whatever doesn't bring you joy, just doesn't spark my joy, just discard it. How many are glad that God doesn't consider us throwaway things? That when we don't spark joy in Him, He doesn't just kick us out. And that's the heart that we want to learn, is not to discard things that don't spark joy, but how to find joy in the life God's called us to live. Because in every situation, we can find joy. And that's why the joy we find in God is uncommon. Because it's not based on circumstance. It's not based on our bank account. It's not based on the people around us. We have this uncommon joy that in every situation, we can find joy. And so that's what the Philippians is all about. It's about finding joy in every situation. So today we're going to start in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start in verses 3 through 5. And as we go through this, rather than saying this is one topic we're going to unpack, we're just going to unpack a passage. And out of it are going to come different thoughts and ideas as Paul is writing to the church at Philippians. We talked last week about how this church was so close to his heart, and we talked about the way that it started and how he was just so involved and so bought into this church that in all of his letters that we have written to different churches, this is the one that is the most intimate and the most favorable, the one that expresses the most affection. And so he's writing to his special church here, the church at Philippi. And as we go through it, I want to encourage you to just open your heart to the Holy Spirit. And as we hit different topics that Paul writes on, just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. God is here. The Bible says whenever we come together as the family of God, God is here. And when God comes as a loving Father, He wants to speak to your heart. And I know, like, a lot of times people come to me and they say, oh man, it was such a good sermon and, you know, really spoke to me. The truth is, that's just God's Spirit speaking to you. And that's because you've come. And as we've come, and people have been praying for this service all week long, we've been praying that God would come and touch your hearts and speak to you. And if you'll listen for Him, if you open your heart, God will speak to you. And He'll transform your life. So would you join me for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. Even more than that, we're so grateful for the love of the Father for us. That you view each and every one of us as sons and daughters. And even those of us who maybe have been angry with you or rejected you or unsure whether you existed and unsure of whether or not you loved us or would even accept us. God, that you've loved us before we ever knew you. And that your love never changes. And that your love sent your only Son to die for us. God, I pray that today, as we walk through these scriptures, that, Lord, you would reveal yourself to us, that we would be overcome, overwhelmed by your great love for us. And so we invite your Holy Spirit just to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I love that we live here in Taiwan, and this month is Ghost Month. You know, when the community around us is welcoming the ancestors and looking for these spirits and has such a belief in a spiritual realm. Because the truth is, the spiritual realm exists. But the spiritual realm is good and evil. And we want to, as believers, focus in on the Spirit of God and receive from that Spirit. And so the Bible says as we worship Him that His Spirit comes and it's here with us today. And so we can be sure that as you're here today, that the things that speak to your heart are from the Spirit of God and not from another spirit. So here we go. It starts off Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. And this is Paul praying. He's writing out his prayer. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And what Paul is talking about, I love this verse 5. He says, the reason why I have this great joy when I pray for you. It just brings joy. And do you have people in your life that when you think about them or when you see them, it's just joy, right? You walk into a room, you go to a party, and they happen to be there. You weren't expecting them, and what hits you is just joy. You're just so glad to see them, right? There's certainly, you know, nowadays we have like Facebook, right, and all these social media things, and you get a blast from the past. Someone finds you on Facebook you haven't seen in decades, but when that thing pops up, there's just joy, because why? You just, the memories that you have of them are all just good. And that's what Paul says about the Philippians church. He says, every time that I pray for you, every time I think of you, there's just joy fills my heart. And he gives a reason. He says, because of your partnership in the gospel. He says, we've been teammates. We played together. You've joined with me. The things that I was doing, you joined right in. You just jumped in. You didn't just sit on the sidelines and spectate and say, oh, good, you go, Paul, you go. But you guys just joined right in with me. You joined the battles. And Paul was in a lot of battles. Paul was a guy who was constantly planting churches in new places where there were no Christians. He would go in to these places and find hostility there. He would get beaten. He would get kicked out. People would argue with him. People would reject him. And so, but he goes into Philippi, and here's a church that just says, Paul, we're with you. You need help. We're there. We're going to pray. We're going to pay. We're going to do whatever it takes to help you as you go to these other cities. We're going to be your team. And Paul said, from the first day, and I love people who love quick. But the first day I met you, you just decided to love me. The first day I met you, you know, you just treated me like your new best friend. And that's the partnership of the gospel. This is what God called, this is the way he calls us to be. To be the kinds of people who love you before they know you. Because the Bible says that's how God loves us. And so let's be a church that loves people before we know them. Because we have such a big loving God. And he says, not only did you love me from the first day, but after you got to know me, because this letter is written about 10 to 12 years after Paul started this church. And he says, from that first day all the way till now, and we're, as Every Nation Taipei, I think we're 13 years. 2009, we're in our 13th year here. So just about the same age as the church in Philippi when we started. And Paul says, all through that time, through all the ups and downs, the times when people accused me, threw me into prison, rejected the way I taught and rejected my teachings, you guys have stood with me from the first day till now. And let's be those kind of friends. As a church, let's love the way that God loved, because that's what brings joy in our hearts. Amen? Partnership. Day one till the end of time. We love quick. Let's be a church that loves quick. That the Bible says we should owe no man anything but love. In other words, anybody who walks in through those doors, you may not owe them money, you may not even know them, but the Bible says you owe them love. This is our responsibility. We have an obligation to love everybody who walks through these doors, to love them from the first day till the last. All right, so it goes on here, verse 6. It says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my hearts. I hold you in my hearts. Paul says, you guys, I know you. Everywhere I go, I think of you. You're in my hearts. And it says, I am sure that the work that God began in you, he's going to complete it. When we read some of Paul's last letters, his letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, he talks about all these different companions who over the years abandoned him, left the faith, left serving, left ministry, whose faith was weak or got shipwrecked. But Paul says, you guys, I know that you guys are going to be there till the end. The question is, he says, why? He answers that in the next verse. Verse 7, he says, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. So two things that I want to note here. Number one, he says, you're partakers with me of grace. And grace is unmerited favor. In other words, they just knew that God's favor was on Paul and God's favor was on them. And there's something about a person who's tasted the favor of God, the grace of God, knowing that God loves me not because of something I've done, not because I'm special, but because that's what God does. And when we start to understand that and we partake of God's grace, because here's the truth, God offers His grace to everybody. I love how Paul starts almost all of his letters, his epistles, with grace. Grace to you. This one he starts, grace and peace to you. What is Paul doing? He's not just giving like a common greeting. He's saying, this is what you need to know. This is who you need to be. This is what you need to understand. God's grace is coming to you. So he always starts out with grace because God leads with grace. And he wants us to learn to have in our mind, foremost in our minds, God's grace is coming to me. God's grace is available to me because this life and our thinking so often rejects grace. Especially if you're raised Asian. Nothing comes for free. Right? Someone wants to give you food. No, you know. Even if you're just totally hungry, you got to turn it down first. No. I couldn't. They told me that when I went to Hong Kong, they said, you got to turn down the meal at least 3 times. And then after the 3rd time, if you're really hungry, you can accept the offer of food. And if they really actually have food to give you, you know, they'll offer it that last time. And so this is little thing of, you know, I don't have food, but I'm going to offer you anyway because that's what we should do. You know, and I better refuse because I don't know, you know. So we walk in this place of having such difficulty accepting anything for free. And Paul is saying, Christianity is totally different. Everything starts for free. And so he says, I love you guys because you guys have partaken of God's grace. You haven't refused it. You haven't slipped into religiosity and what have you done for me lately? And are you good enough for me to love you? No, you've lived in the place, you've understood grace. Even when I was in prison, even when I had to defend the gospel, and when other Christians and other believers and the Jews were all against me, you stood with me. Because you understood, it's not about whether I'm right or wrong. It's not about whether I'm loved or unloved. It's just I've received grace for free. Not because I'm perfect, not because I'm good, not because I'm always right, but because God is always right and God is always love. And when we receive love like that, when we receive grace, then we're able to actually give grace. And who needs grace? Is the people who least deserve it. The ones who've messed up the most. The ones that society looks down on, the ones who are the outcasts, those are the ones that need grace the most. That's why I love what the guys in SALT do. You know, that we let's go to those who are on the edges of society, those who are on the outside, those that society would rather just hide away. And let's go show grace to them because that's the heart of God. And he says about the church in Philippi, the reason why I know you're going to make it, the reason why I know God's work in you is really taking root, is because you guys are partakers of grace. You receive God's goodness, not based on, you know, I prayed all night and then, you know, I finally got God to answer me. You just know God loves me. Not based on anything I've done. That's the love of the Father for us. And he says, I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. The other thing is that I've got this love for you. The love that I have for you, it's not my love. I love you because I see you the way Jesus sees you. So those are two powerful keys for us as a church that shape who we are. Are we receivers of God's grace? Or do we think we've earned our way and we're something better because we go to church on Sunday? You know, we read our Bibles and we think somehow that makes us better. No, we have to be people who, we just know that our lives are based on grace. Our walk with God is based on who He is and how much He's loved us. Because then when we understand the love of God, then it's that love, that gracious love that we offer to others. So how do you see God? When you think about God as Father, do you see Him looking down and judging you? Do you see Him distant and like, okay, I love you, but you're kind of on your own? Do you see God as involved but controlling? Or do you see God as a God of grace? God who's always for you, who when you stumble, he comes alongside and picks you up. When you're hurting, he comes to bring healing and comfort. He mourns with those who mourn. He rejoices when you're rejoicing, he's rejoicing. See, how you view God will shape what kind of Christian, what kind of a person you become. The love of the Father. What kind of a love do you give to other people? Is it love just like everybody else loves? I love the people who I like. I love the people who love me. I love the people who are lovely. Or do you love the way that Jesus loved? Paul says, I loved you the way Jesus loves, because you guys are partakers of grace. So go out in verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. His prayer, Paul's prayer, was that they would just grow and grow in love. That needs to be our prayer. As we pray for one another, let's pray, God, fill this church with love. I need your prayers. You guys need to pray for Pastor Bruce and Terry. Just pray for us. Fill them with love, God. Fill them with love. And especially the people that you find to be unloving. Those are the ones you need to pray for and say, God, fill them with love. This, you need to pray the prayer of Paul. Say, Lord, fill them. May they love more and more. May their love abound and overflow more and more. And let that be our prayer for this church. Lord, let this church be a place where love just abounds and overflows, where people walk through the door, they can't avoid getting hit by love. Let that be our prayer. Okay, amen. Are we good? Let's be a people of prayer, and let's be people who pray that people love more and more. Verse 11, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the kingdom. So here's what Paul is saying. What happened to me, what is he referring to? When Paul's referring to, he says, what's happened to me has served to advance the kingdom. Paul is writing from prison. And he's saying, me getting arrested, me getting put in prison, has really served to advance the kingdom of God. My suffering, the hardship in my life, has served to advance the kingdom of God, advance the gospel. And so Paul is saying, this is how you live a life of joy. This is what suffering is meant to do in our lives. This passage of scripture, Paul, he brings together suffering and joy. And that's actually a major theme throughout scripture. Sometimes we think when we become Christians, then there's no more suffering. But actually the opposite is true. The Bible says that we're to embrace suffering. We look throughout the scriptures. James says, count it all joy when trials come to you. Paul says in the book of Romans, rejoice in our sufferings. Peter said, we rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. In other words, the level of my rejoicing is equal to the level of your suffering. And the more that you suffer, the more we rejoice. Now that is not how I think. And that's not the thinking of the culture around us. But it is an uncommon joy that is available to us. So if you're in a place of suffering, it's a setup for God to bring joy into your life. If you'll approach suffering the way that Paul did, Paul found this, the secrets to embracing this suffering. See, for Paul, suffering advanced the kingdom. How did it do it? How does that happen? Here's how it happens. Suffering is meant to, number one, it's meant that to help us become more like Christ. Because Jesus suffered. And so as we suffer the way that Jesus suffered without retaliating. He suffered on behalf of us. He suffered because of his love for us. And when we learn to be willing to suffer for the sake of expressing and seeing love ministered to others, we become more like Christ. So number one, are we willing to embrace suffering for the sake of others experiencing Christ. We talked a few weeks ago about going that second mile, being willing to take on extra burden. Another thing that in suffering, it sanctifies us, or it changes our character, our nature. So that's why Paul said, he says, we rejoice in suffering because we know that suffering produces endurance and character and hope and love. So what suffering does is it sanctifies us. It makes us more like Christ. It builds character in our lives. In fact, Paul, when he was there suffering, he just said, the point of this suffering is that people would hear the gospel. So Paul assumed that his suffering was for the sake of the gospel. In fact, what he assumed was every time that Paul was in prison, whatever Roman guards were chained to him, because when you're put into the innermost prison, when you're a really dangerous prisoner, they would chain a soldier to you in order to keep you there. And Paul just assumed that if this guy's here with me, it's because God wants him to get the gospel. So Paul, in every situation, for him, he viewed through the lens of the gospel. He said, I'm not going to waste this suffering. I'm not going to waste this imprisonment. I'm going to use it for the sake of the gospel. So how can I use my suffering? How can I use my difficulty to advance the gospel? So if you look at yourself and say, man, you know, I hate this place I work. I hate my coworkers. You have to just shift that suffering and just say, so why does God have me suffering? Who in this place needs the gospel? Because otherwise you're wasting your suffering. And you're just going to end up back in a place of suffering again. Until you start to learn to use your suffering for the sake of the gospel. That's how Paul found joy in his suffering. Because when he got thrown into prison, he said, then that must be, there's a jailer who needs the gospel. In fact, that's how the church in Philippi was started. Paul got beaten, thrown in prison. He began to just worship. And then when the earthquake came and the prison doors flew open and he could have walked out, he said, no, I'm here by assignment. I'm not going to waste this prison imprisonment and suffering. There's somebody here who needs the gospel. And so he waited till the jailer came. And he said, I'm here in prison because you need the gospel. And the jailer and his whole family became Christians, followers of Christ. Why? Because Paul did not waste his suffering. And if you and I need to start viewing our suffering differently. And so right now in your life, just think through, where are the difficult relationships in my life? Where are the circumstances in which I feel like I'm suffering? And say, okay, God, where's the kingdom purpose in that? And how can the gospel advance through my suffering? This is why we have suffering in our lives. This is the point of it. So don't waste your suffering. And see, a lot of us as Christians, we think if you're suffering, it's a sign that you don't have God's blessing on your life. And Paul didn't view it that way at all. Neither did Jesus. Imagine if Jesus said, okay, I'm here, going to go to the cross, but no suffering. Because I'm the Son of God. And how can I show the people I'm the Son of God if I'm suffering? Because loving God and being loved by God means no suffering. What if Paul lived that way? So here's Paul. He's beaten up. You know, sometimes we think, no, you know, if you're walking with God, you're never going to suffer injury. You're never going to be hurt. You're always going to be popular. But that's not what Paul thought. And that was one of the keys to Paul finding joy in every situation. Sometimes we get this thing of if you're sick, it's just because you didn't have enough faith. I think Jesus had lots of faith. I think Paul had lots of faith. And they still suffered. There's times when our suffering is for a purpose. It may be because there's a doctor that God wants you to go and get saved. And so he's going to let you walk in that sickness for a while. The truth is, we're all going to end up 100% healthy. Totally fixed. There's none of us, when we get to heaven, are going to be sick. None of us are going to be injured, but we may be injured for a season here on earth. But if God allows that in your life, there is always a purpose. And if it's sickness or injury, it's temporary. But I would encourage you, take advantage of that moment and use it for the sake of the gospel until the time comes when the injury is fully healed and the sickness is healed. Whether that happens in the moment right now or when we cross into glory, we walk with the full confidence that we will be healed and that we will be unbroken. But in the moment now, let's take advantage of our suffering and use it for the sake of the gospel. Be able to rejoice in suffering. Let's go to the next verse. It says here, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, let's go to the next one, says, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And so here's what Paul is saying. Number one, all the soldiers, in fact, the Praetorian, the Imperial Guard, the best of the best. In those days, the Imperial Guard, they were like the Special Forces guys. And it's interesting because he's taught right into Philippi, which was a city full of retired soldiers. It's where soldiers love to retire. It was a city that was given to soldiers. The emperor said, all right, this city is set aside. Our soldiers, you retire. If you want a place, you want a house, you can go to Philippi. We'll give you one. And so it was a community of ex-soldiers. And so when Paul says, man, you know, even the Imperial Guard, all the Special Forces guys, they're hearing about Jesus because of my imprisonment. And not only that, but the brothers here, they're getting more bold to preach the gospel. So my imprisonment, my suffering is actually emboldening others to go and preach even more. So Paul took advantage of his sufferings. And so today, let's come to a close here. We're gonna just land the plane. And I just wanted to give every one of us an opportunity and speak to each of us in this moment. Wherever you are in your life, let's be a church that loves. Let's be a church that receives God's grace. Let's be a church that when we walk through suffering, when we walk through trials, when we walk through difficult times, we view those as opportunities for the gospel. And in our difficult times, instead of just saying, God, get me out of here, we say, God, why do you have me here? That's how Paul built the church at Philippi. God will shake your prison. God will break you out. You will find freedom. This is the gospel that you're going to find freedom. But while you are in prison, this is a moment for you to say, God, who do you have me here to minister to? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, today as we come before you, I know that there's some who are walking just through really tough times. There's difficult places in their lives. There's relationships that are fractured and hurting. It's physical suffering. People walking with incurable diseases and painful places in their physical bodies. People are in places where just emotionally there's fear or insecurity or frustration or disappointment, discouragement. There's some who, Lord, are just walking through difficult places, whether it's financially or some other circumstance in their life that's just difficult. There's a place in their work or in their school or in their family where just relationships have just become difficult and painful. And God, in those moments, I pray that first of all, Lord, they would just see your grace. the love of the Father would be poured out upon them, and they would sense that even in the midst of the circumstance, God, your grace is extended towards them, and there is relief, and there is love, and there is joy, even in the midst of their difficult circumstance. God, I pray that you would pour out your joy into them. That, Father, we would choose to rejoice in our difficult times. We would choose to see, Lord God, your love for us, exemplified through Jesus' death on the cross for us. And Father, for those here today who've never even opened their hearts to that, never committed their hearts to the love of Jesus, and Father, today we come to you and we just say, Lord, in the areas where we've sinned, the areas where we have failed you, failed ourselves, messed up, rebelled against you, God, we pray for forgiveness. Where we violated the laws of relationship with you or relationships with others, God, I pray that you would forgive us, cleanse us of our sin, and come and be our Father. Lord, may you open the eyes of our hearts to see how much you love us, so that as we're filled with your gracious love, we can extend that gracious love to others. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.